by saying,
I'm encouraged by a few things this afternoon. The first thing is we've still got people here, even though it's Wimbledon final has just kicked off. Secondly, I love the fact that we've got young guys up at the front. Josh, great job on the communion. Ben, great job on the Hope Talk. And the third thing I'm encouraged by today, you know, sometimes words can mean something to you, right? Marlon taps me on the shoulder about 30 seconds ago. He says, I've flown 9 hours, so don't mess it up, all right? So hopefully I'll do you proud, Marlon. Right, I want to ask you guys a question today. Who thinks about their future? Yeah? It's only natural, right? You know, in every stage of our life, if we think about it, when we're kids, we're at school, we're thinking about maybe going into the next year. You know, maybe some of you kids, when you're breaking up, you're going to be looking forward to the next year. And then when you move from primary school to secondary school to university, university to job, in all of those phases in your life, right, you're thinking about the next step. It's tiring, right? It's actually quite tiring when you think about it. But there's one thing. You can't get to the next stage, usually, without doing something. If you fail all your exams, you can't go into the next year. If you do terribly at school, it's more difficult to get a job. So, in any one of these stages, there's action required. Now, I work in the investment industry. My job is to advise asset managers and hedge funds what they should invest in. Now, some of you may have known this. Now, when I asked you all to put up your hands about whether or not you think about the future, or you know a lot about your future, what if I asked you the question, how many of you know a lot about investing? Fewer hands maybe would go up. The truth is that you do know a lot about investing. And maybe it's not about financial investment, but in every stage of your life, you've always had to invest something to get to the next stage. And it involves time. It involves, you know, you invest your time. You invest your emotion. There are so many ways that we invest. We've been doing it all our lives. But the question I want to ask today is, are you investing in the thing that matters? So, the thing that matters, and we're going to talk about it today, and the real question is, are you investing in your spiritual life? Now, I wanted to talk about this because oftentimes I spend all my day thinking about investing, but it's the wrong type of investing. It's the one that doesn't really matter. As I said, my job is to think about undervalued or overvalued assets and essentially we get paid on whether or not we make the right recommendations to people. But oftentimes investment is a lot about the perspective that you have. So I want to talk about, do you have the right perspective on investment? Because I think if you don't have that, it's very difficult to actually get into the nitty-gritty and start investing in your spiritual life. Now, with my job, I need one thing. And the thing I need is I actually need volatility. I need things to change, otherwise my job doesn't work. Now, the definition of volatility, I had a look into it. It says, at least this is the Oxford definition of it, the liability to change rapidly and unpredictably, especially for the worse. And I thought, hang on a sec, that's a bit, you know, not particularly encouraging. And I actually disagree with this definition. I'm going against it. I disagree with Oxford on this one. If everything stayed the same, if everything stayed constant, wouldn't that be a bit boring? I certainly couldn't do my job. If everything stayed the same, there would be no opportunities to take advantage of, right? Now, some of you may know him or not, but Warren Buffett is well, he is the wealthiest man in the world, and he has made his fortune by making the right investments. And his one of his most famous quotes is very simple. It says, "The true investor welcomes volatility." Now, as Christians, like anyone else, we experience change, right? Our lives are not constant. There will always be change, there will always be volatility. Sometimes it's more volatile than others, but it will always be there, right? Yeah. Think about how many changes you've had in your life. Now, God tells us that we're not always going to have an easy ride. Turn in your Bibles to John 16, verse 33. Now it reads, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, what's God trying to tell us here? He's trying to say, you are going to have change. You are going to have this volatility, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. You can lean on me, essentially. And David is great, you know, when you read through the Psalms, and a particular psalm I like is Psalm 18, verse 2. You don't need to turn to it, I'll read it for you. But David leans on God in these times of change. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So the point I'm trying to make here today is we will have change. We will have volatility. That's inevitable. God, in essence, promises us that. But do we hide from it? Do we view it negatively, as the dictionary suggests? Or are we willing to invest and take advantage of it? So, I think it's important to make sure that we've got the right perspective when we're talking about investment. Because God promises us something, and we need to take advantage of the thing he promises us, which is change and volatility. Now, whenever you're thinking about investment, people will say the number one thing you can get wrong is not investing in the first place. Now, let me ask you a question. Who would rather have £10 today or £20 in 3 years' time? £10 today? Now, I actually studied a lot about this at university, and most people, it was more than 90% or something like this, to that very question, say that they'd rather have the money now than have it later. And isn't that true? As human beings, we are short-sighted. Yeah. We are not willing to sacrifice things now, even though it may be the better thing to do for our future. Now, let me put that into perspective. So that was a small sum of money that people wanted to have now rather than investing it for the future. When people were asked what they would like when they get to retirement, beyond, you know, just having a house and things like that, they talked about having financial security in their retirement. And when people were quizzed on how much financial security do you want, they said, "I would like to have $30,000 in income a year once I'm retired." Now, to achieve that, you have to have a pension pot of £725,000. Now, to get there, you have to invest £450 a month from the time you're 18 years old. The average pension pot in the UK is £50,000. People are not willing to invest now for what they want in the future, even if it may be for their own well-being. Now, let's turn to Matthew 25. I want to read a parable here. verse 14. Right, the parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought another 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold, Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received interest. Now, and then it says, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Now, when you read this, it can be quite confusing because sometimes you can look through it and actually, these servants were, you know, they probably hadn't been given, a bag of gold before. They may never have even had money, and to go and put it somewhere, put it to work, is actually quite a scary thing for them. And you can sympathize with the servant who hid it in the ground, right? Because he was protecting it in some ways. Now, I want to read verse 29, because I think this is actually... And I'm actually going to read the New Living Translation of this. So we read in the NIV there. And it says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's quite extreme verse, right? But God does place an importance on investment. Now, it's not about financial investment here. There are many different ways that you can talk about this verse. But the thing that stands out to me is the reason why the master was so pleased with the first 2 servants is that they made a deposit, and they deposited what they had essentially been entrusted with in the right way. And the question that I think we need to answer is, are we depositing our faith with God? So, the first point I want to make to you today, and I think it's quite simple, is have you deposited that faith in Christ Jesus? And importantly, is your faith being put to work? Now, if the answer to either of those questions is no, perhaps it's worth taking the time to review where you are with your spiritual investment. Maybe you're questioning God's existence. Great. But invest the time to get an answer. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but the truth is you failed to continue to invest that same level of investment that you used to. Whatever it is, you need to be investing in your spiritual life. And the biggest difference, by the way, is unfortunately, you can't retire. You've got to keep doing it until eventually we get connected with God in heaven. So, the first point today is, are you invested? If you're not, seek it out. If you are, make sure you're still putting that same level of investment into your spiritual life that you need to be. So, we know we need to invest, but we need to make sure we're investing in the right thing. Now, as I said, it's not about monetary investment. In fact, God says, do not store up treasures on this earth. Now, Ben even said, when I said I was going to be talking about investment today, he said, Matthew 6:19, have you got it in there? I said, oh, I think I've got it in here. Yeah, I do. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's clear God's not interested in worldly treasures. And we all know the parable of the rich young ruler. In fact, monetary treasures can get in the way and make it even harder to inherit eternal life. You don't need to turn there, but it says in Mark 10, verses 23 to 25. In fact, turn there. I think it's good. I think we should.
Come on, Ben.
Mark 10. Verse 23. It says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of very wealthy people here in this room. I think we need to take light of that. We are the rich. It's harder for us. But what we do know is that God wants us to invest. We know it's not about money. We know it's not about worldly possessions. So what exactly does God want us to invest in? Now let me ask a question. Has anyone ever made a fool of themselves? Yeah? Right, so I was at a conference recently. We were in Venice and we were coming to the end of the 3 days that we'd been there. And I'm not sure about you, but do some of your colleagues like to play pranks on you sometimes? Yeah? Maybe particularly in a sales environment, everyone's trying to make jokes about each other. Well, in this case, we were coming to the end. We'd been there for about 2.5 days, and we had a final lunch. And I had an hour to spare, so I finished a meeting at 11, and the lunch wasn't until 12. So I asked the lead sales guy, I said, okay, is this a casual lunch? What is it? And he said, yeah, it's casual. We're having lunch down near the pool. So, come in, you know, t-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. I said, okay, all right, that sounds good. That sounds nice. And by the way, he said this to me and my boss, who's significantly more senior than he is. So I thought, okay, well, you know, he's telling the truth here. So I went back to my room. I got out of my suit. I put on my t-shirt, my shorts, my flip-flops. And I walked down the stairs and I opened the door onto the terrace area, which is near the pool. Everyone's in suits. And so me and my boss walk in our flip-flops, as if we're just about to go for a swim. Everyone's sort of looking at us thinking, who are these guys? But you know when you get into that situation, you just got to laugh it off. You can't go back through the door behind you. You just got to carry on going. Now, in this instance, I'd invested in the wrong clothing, right? it's no big deal. I managed to get through it. In fact, The only way I did was by making people feel jealous about how nice and cool I was, because it was 35 degrees outside. But I had invested in the wrong clothing. But as Christians, when it comes to heaven, we don't have that same option. If we turn up and we've invested in the wrong thing throughout our whole life, we can't just brush it off. Now, the biggest difference here is that God's not bothered about your clothes, your status. We already know that God doesn't care about your financial status. So what is God looking for? Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16, verse 17. Oh, chapter 16, verse 17. It reads...
Chapter 16, verse 17.
Verse 17, yeah. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now, I'm not sure about you, but when you're thinking about where you've placed your investment, how much of it is external versus internal? If God says he doesn't care about all these other things, and the one thing he does say he's going to be looking at when you turn up is your heart, where is your investment lying? Is it in the right place? And no need to turn to this one, but God is very clear. You know, another great verse is Matthew 6, 31. It says, do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So, we know we need to invest. We know we need to invest into our faith, into the internal things, not into money. But whenever we're thinking about investment, we need to be thinking about the time frame as well. So we now know that God places a massive emphasis on spiritual investment. We know that we've got to put our investment on the spiritual side of things, not anything external. But he's also not interested in one other thing, and that's short-term investment either. So my third point is, are you investing for the long term as well? Now, me and Cherie go to the same gym together, but we do very different things. Okay? I prefer to do some weights, the occasional bit of cardio when Cherie forces me to, and Cherie loves going to classes. Okay. Now, I've been a member of the gym for 3 years. Cherie's only been a member for maybe 6 months or so. And I've never been to a class before. And Cherie's saying, "Oh, I really want you to go to a class with me. Please, 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 please." So after 6 months, I finally say, "All right, I'll go to a class with you." Okay? And so we're looking through the classes. You can see the timetable of when everything's on. And I'm seeing things like yoga, Pilates. I'm not sure if I'd fit in with those classes. So I'm desperately looking for something more manly, something more extreme here. And I find it. I find the perfect one. Insanity. So I thought, yeah, let's do this one. 30 minutes of high intensity exercise. Now, I used to be a squash player, so that was always high intensity. So I thought I'd be quite good at this. I was thinking, this is the type of class I'm going to go to. I'm going to have someone shouting in my ear, "Come on, come on." And I think I would deal well with that sort of pressure. Now, I got to the class, and first thing I noticed is that there aren't many men in the class. So I'm outnumbered, for starters. So we start, we've got techno music, we've got the guy shouting at us with the microphone, you know. So you're going, you're jumping, you're running, and I started out strong. I felt like I was jumping higher than everyone else. I felt like I was running faster than everybody else. After 5 minutes, I definitely wasn't. The truth is all the mums who are going every day, they were way fitter than I was. And I'm panting on the floor whilst everyone's carrying on. I think I was the only person in the class who actually had to sit down and miss certain bits of it. But needless to say, it was a little bit embarrassing. I shouldn't have picked the insanity class. But the difference was, is I had trained, you know, beforehand, in the first 5 minutes, I was doing really well. So I was okay for a short period of time, but not for any form of endurance whatsoever, okay? And, you know, it was essentially sprints versus endurance. Me and Cherie had invested in our time in the gym differently, right? And because of that, Cherie made it, but I didn't. And isn't that the same in our spiritual life as well? You can't give up on your spiritual investment halfway through. You've got to see it through to the end. And there are two great verses that I want to read here. So let's turn to Acts 20, verse 24. It says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. You know the emphasis that whenever I read this verse, if only I may finish. Our spiritual lives are not about getting halfway there, it's about getting the whole way there. And if we don't continue to put that investment all the way through, we're not going to make it. And that's the only thing that matters. God doesn't care if you get halfway, you've got to get the whole way. And that's what's important. In 1 Timothy 4, we'll also read this, because it says a very similar thing here as well. So verse 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8, says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all of those who have longed for his appearing. Now, again, the same thing. It says, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race. We have to finish, and we have to have kept the faith the whole way through. Now, isn't that what we want? When we're thinking about our future, when I asked you about if you think about it to begin with, are you thinking about this crown of righteousness, this eternal life with God? If you are thinking about it, you've got to be making sure to put the steps along the way to get there. So, what do we know so far? We have to have the right perspective. Our lives are always changing, there's always going to be volatility, but we need to have the right perspective on how we view that. Are we willing to take advantage of it? Are you invested spiritually? If you're not invested, you can't do anything. And if you're not invested, how can you change that today? Maybe some of you in this room have not yet made that investment. I'd encourage you to think about doing so. And if you are, can you honestly say you're investing enough to make the spiritual returns you need? And are you investing in the right areas of your life? You know, if your number one investment is not into your faith, depositing that faith with God, as we read about in the parable, then ask yourself, What are you investing in instead? And lastly, are you taking the long-term approach to spiritual investment? How resilient to change are you? And are you taking the long-term approach to your spiritual investment with God? And are you running the race to win your eternal inheritance? So thanks very much for letting me talk. I've kept it short today, but I just want to encourage everyone here today to think about those things and ask themselves those questions. And hopefully that's been helpful.